Good evening again. We're going to take a look at this passage and the way that Luke structures his account of Jesus' ascension and how he hides in there with his particular careful detail a lot of important things to realize about Jesus and his mission. In particular, we're going to see how Jesus' ascension shows us the beginning of Jesus' dominion in heaven and also what that means subsequently for his people on earth. Okay, so I'm going to start by looking at Jesus' dominion and how that is inaugurated in a new way after his ascension. We see this in the first place in verse 3, where Luke says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive." This is Luke's shorthand way of referring to everything that Jesus did and achieved on the cross. Jesus died, he rose again. And in this resurrection, Jesus has amazing victory. Humanity's last, greatest, most powerful enemy, the one that came from the beginning in Genesis, was defeated by Jesus because he was dead, and now, by virtue of these convincing proofs, he is shown to be alive. And so right at the beginning of this passage, at the beginning of the book of Acts, we have this memory, this recollection being forced upon us of Jesus' victory. And this victory bookends the accounts of Jesus' ascension. Because if you look at verses 10 and 11, after Jesus has ascended, it says, "They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who was taken from you back into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven.'" And so, from the moment of Jesus' ascension, his return is promised. And with that return, the great victory that the Bible is looking forward to. And so, this account bookends Jesus' ascension with two great victories that Jesus has won. One that he has already achieved through his death and resurrection, and one that he is going to achieve at the end of time when he comes again. And so, by presenting these victories, Luke wants us to be aware of the fact that Jesus is king. He has been made and won his place as king in heaven through what he's done on earth. But that's not all Luke wants to do in this passage. He also wants to make clear what people should be doing in the meantime. And he does this in two ways. Firstly, by speaking about the coming of the Spirit, and then secondly, by giving his people a commission. So let's look at those in turn. Firstly, the Spirit, Jesus promises this to them in verses 4 and 5. While he's eating with them, he tells them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift that the Father has promised. Because John baptized them with water, but in a few days they will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is more properly spoken about at Pentecost, a festival that is coming in a few days' time. But it's nevertheless worth mentioning, because firstly, Jesus is about to leave them, and he's aware of this. And this gets more detail in John's Gospel, but Jesus wants them to know that they're not going to be left alone. The people are going to be taken care of. Jesus wants them to know that even though his physical presence is going to be going away from them soon, in a different and empowering way, his presence will still be with them. And the second thing he wants them to do is to be poised, to be ready for the empowering that the Spirit is going to give them. And what are they supposed to be ready for? Well, this is the second thing that we are supposed to see about ourselves and the church in this new age. And it's the fact that we have a commission. So if you look at verses 6 to 9, the disciples meet together and they say to Jesus, "Are you going to bring the kingdom now, at this time, since you've risen from the dead?" And Jesus says, in essence, no and yes. Firstly, he says no by saying, "It is not for you to know the times and dates that the Father has set by his own authority." In other words, the kingdom isn't coming right now as you expect it. But then he goes on to say, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then he is ascended. And so what he's saying to them implicitly here is that they will receive power to begin the kingdom work that they thought Jesus was going to have achieved at his death. In other words, he's saying to them, the kingdom isn't coming in its fullness now, but it's coming in a real way that you now have the privilege and the challenge of propagating. And so, in other words, what Jesus is saying to them is, roll up your sleeves and get busy, because my work, in a real sense, has only just begun. And it's important to remember Jesus' victory in light of this. And Luke gives us one more hint of this in the course of the passage, because he tells them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And throughout the book of Acts, the gospel progresses in exactly this way. It starts in Jerusalem, goes to Judea when they are kicked out after Saul, spreads to Samaria, and the book of Acts ends with Paul preaching the gospel in Rome, which was commonly thought to be the center, the end of the earth. And so, even in the book of Acts, Luke understands that the victory that Jesus won with his ascension is almost guaranteed in the preaching of the gospel. So, to sum that all up quickly in a nutshell, Jesus is pointed to in this passage as dying and as rising again, thereby conquering death, and ascending to the throne of heaven, from where he will come and win a final victory over everything to reinstate earth as it should be. In the meantime, his apostles, his disciples, his church is going to be empowered by the Spirit so that they can fulfill this mission of preaching his gospel and thereby spreading his kingdom. That is the essential message of Ascension Day. Jesus is King, he is Lord, he has risen to this place of exaltation, but that doesn't mean Christians can rest on their laurels. In fact, it means that we've got an important job that we need to be doing. And so, as we sort of grapple with this passage, as John said earlier, to try and apply it, I've got two points of application that I want us to bear in mind. The first, and arguably the most important one, is that Ascension Day challenges us to remember Jesus' lordship. Jesus was king on earth, but he has ascended to the throne of heaven. And these days, with load shedding, with internet going down, with all sorts of things happening in the world, it's sometimes very difficult to remember that Jesus is Lord. But Ascension Day is our day in the year to look back and remember that he is in fact King, and to challenge ourselves to live in light of that. Life is difficult, and life is scary, and it's okay to be nervous, it's okay to be worried, it's okay to let the circumstances of life get on top of us. But it's not okay to be dismayed. We are a people who are serving a king who has risen from the dead, and a king who is coming again soon. And at the moment, where he is now, is in heaven, serving and taking care of us. But that doesn't mean, as I said earlier, that we can just rest on our laurels. The second application is that we must dig in. Just because this world is in some sense passing away, only to be recreated later, that doesn't mean that Christians can absent themselves from the affairs of the world. We as Christians have a duty, an obligation, to serve God and to spread his kingdom in the world. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, by the power that he gives us, by the Holy Spirit that he promised. And so as Christians, on this day, our posture should be looking upward in reverence of the God who has saved us, who has died, who has risen again. And then our posture should be forward into the world that he has created with the desire, the inclination, and the empowerment to spread the kingdom that he has inaugurated. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us as your church this calendar, these markers in the year where we can remember specific truths about who you are and what you are like. Lord, help us to remember your grace, your love, the fact that you are the ascended King. Help us to see your victory and to claim it as our own, in the sense that we enjoy all the benefits that you have won for us. Help us to give you glory and honor and praise for that. But then, Lord, help us to look back at this world, broken and ailing though it is, and to work, to get our sleeves up and to get involved in spreading your gospel, working for your kingdom, working to bring your kingdom here on earth. Lord, this was the command you gave us, and we thank you, Lord, that we do not do it alone, but we get to do it by the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Bless us, we pray. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.